Cropod contains language and themes which may not be suitable for anyone, but what is suitable for everybody is the great stuff from our friends at The Famous, iconic wear for bears. Go check out thefamousheadwear.co.uk. Great stuff over there. And if you want to win some stuff from them, scroll down, hit the Buy Me a Coffee link in the show notes on this episode that you're listening to right now. We give away stuff from them every single month here on the Cropod. So check them out, thefamousheadwear.co.uk.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Why, there are no children here at the 4-H Club either. Am I so out of touch? No, it's the children who are wrong.
Final one for 2023 as we close out the year. My wrist, thankfully, David, almost healed. I think I'll be back to normal function next week, which, you know, it's a good thing. I kind of needed the break here, but, you know, it's not so much that it's healed. It's just that I'm used to it now. So
you have a workaround now in place, yes, for so long that it becomes second nature to you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's kind of like the pain in the knee, you know, it's just like, it's there every day, I'm used to it, whatever, it doesn't matter. Like right now it's snowing very heavily, so of course the knee hurts and the wrist hurts extra because of all the air pressure bullshit, whatever it was our grandparents used to tell us, I don't know. Mm. Todd's not here, by the way, if you're waiting for Todd, it's not going to happen. So.
Don't sit there with him. Todd's at some sort of mafia meeting, which he calls his family. Gathering.
Toronto Mafia Ottawa Mafia.
Hey, forget about it, Todd. Protection thing now. So. Yeah, that he's in. So he's away doing that. I'm having a very nice break. I'm enjoying it. It was nice of Ross County to give us all the midweek off.
Yeah, the very controversial.
Controversial.
It was good to see the Masonic Conspiracy remember that us having 29 fewer hours to get ready before the match isn't actually in favor of the conspiracy, so we just went ahead and wiped the match out. Right.
Yeah, sectarian snow on the road. But it was quite funny when people were sort of complaining about, typical to help out Rangers. And it's like, well, guys, you know, there's not a lot you can do when a road is closed. The road, you know, the one.
Yeah.
It's unlikely they'd be able to find a plane in the next few hours, and like, it's not great because you want to go to the game as a fan, you know, I was looking forward to it, but in terms of from a football point of view, it probably is a good thing because Christ, another injury, and honestly one of us was going to have to play on Saturday. There's that, but at least they did it reasonably early. Now they're never going to be able to do it early enough because there's people who do have to set off, you know, first thing, but it was called off, about 2 o'clock? So
yeah,
for the majority of people, they hadn't set off. There's almost, though, that this might sound wild, but given that it's December in Scotland, maybe scheduling the teams from furthest away, Aberdeen and Ross County, to have to travel to the Central Belt, rather than having scheduled two teams who are maybe, you know, 10 miles apart to play each other.
Yeah, but you can't look. The computer just tosses up whatever up, David. Yeah. I mean, we know that. There's no human input into the fixture list up there whatsoever. I mean, it's all random.
Yeah, it's just maybe something to look at in the future. That when the computer randomly comes up with us,
when it does that,
that maybe you should go, hang on a minute, right? Look, there's Rangers and there's Motherwell, right? They could play each other, right? And there's Aberdeen and Ross County. That's probably. Right, what we'll do is then we'll change some of these fixtures a bit. And it just seems to make a wee bit more sense to me. But, it gives us a few more days off, saved us getting anybody else injured for a while.
Give us time to finish the Fabio Silva deal.
Yeah, we're signing someone. Yeah, he looks like a swarthy, sexy Alex Lowry.
I went and did the Wikipedia. I was mildly familiar with him. He's a professional footballer, but... I had to go look at the bio here. So, of course, he's about to join, quote, the famous Glasgow Rangers to help deliver a domestic treble and Europa League trophy. And then also notes in his spare time, he plays the big bass drum for the Govan Pipe Band. So, I mean, yeah, it's perfect. It's a perfect fit, really.
I didn't know that, but obviously him being local for band practice...
It just makes perfect sense. No wonder he didn't want to be over, in Parkhead. I mean, you got to travel across town and weather like this. You can't think,
exactly.
Come on.
No, can I just say, incidentally, for one of the greatest Twitter replies I have ever seen, a Celtic fan, understandably, because the articles are all pointing out correctly that the thing that swung it in terms of the two clubs being in for him was European football, which is... not unusual.
Reasonable.
Yeah. Football players, since European football was invented, really have spoken about how they want to play in it. So
that's kind of how we assembled, that whole team.
Yeah,
the late 80s and early 90s and everything. Look,
you want to be playing at the highest level possible, and Europe gives you that opportunity. And a Celtic fan replied. He said, "Wow, two games, and can I just?" Credit to the Rangers fans who replied to him by saying, "It's two more fucking games and you'll be playing."
they're all having totally normal ones yet again.
Yeah.
Obviously, having to explain the Palestine thing in, I don't know, like documentary movies or whatever the hell they're doing now. But that, I saw there was one of the more prominent whatever blog site things, whatever message boards on their Twitter account complaining that we donated all the food from yesterday's match to food banks because you don't want it to go bad and
absolutely
whatever, so you do it. But then they were complaining that, well, had the game gone ahead, then we wouldn't have donated the foods and people were going to starve. Which, of course, in similar fashion to the reply that you're talking about, but many Rangers fans point out that he probably had his dinner last night while people were starving.
Yes. It doesn't really work. It's just that, look, it's just a nice thing to do. The food was going to go, as you say, into bins.
Yeah. Right? Well, I pretty much every sports team in the world does something like that if a game gets canceled.
I'd have been really disappointed, Shane, if they hadn't, right? Because, as you say, like, to me, it just seems daft in any circumstance, look, we've got all this food. You are a food charity. Could you get this to people who need it tonight? Yes, we can. Great. On you go, right? But it's that sort of, well, you can't have any praise for anything nice whatsoever at all, which is a bit daft. But yeah, I mean, apart from that, things have been pretty sound. Big Phil gave us another win, so Christmas wasn't rude. And I think we all suspected one kick in the balls coming before Christmas, didn't we? I think we all, whether it be the cup final or one of the league games,
the one I was more worried somehow, I was worried, like, had we played Roscoe, just coming out flat and maybe just scraping by like a 1-0 or something like that. I wasn't too worried about the
conditions, by the way, because it was howling wind, really.
No,
bad.
It's going to be one of those perfectly Scotch football matches where the teams that just want to try to play to steal a goal at the end, but thankfully not doing it, and well rested for Saturday. It's going to be
nice. All we can ask for. So now looking forward to that, and look forward to some new players coming in. So all good. Did you have a nice Christmas?
I was happy to see too, like actually talking to Club 1872 again, and recognizing one of the biggest shareholders in the company. It's kind of it's like everything's doing kind of some of the stuff that we all want it to do, right? It's good for everybody.
Yeah. Club 1872 now.
Yeah, whatever.
They can go mental themselves and start talking to their contributors.
Yes.
So I don't think
that would be a good idea. Also.
That would be, occasionally, 4 emails a year is not a communication strategy.
No.
So hopefully they pick up on that. But yeah, I mean, it's all good. Look, go for the low-hanging fruit. Go for the quick wins. How often have we said it? There are things that will take a bit of time, and there are things you go, we could probably sort this. Why don't we?
You need to raise funds in the immediate, hopefully, to help bolster the squad. Why not get, again, one of the bigger shareholding, like a thing that could raise money potentially very quickly, in short order, if you needed to, right?
I also had an idea about raising money, right? What they could do is they could sell some of the bad players and use that money to buy good players. What do you think?
Right, but as always, it's not Football Manager.
Damn it.
People know that our bad players are bad. So
I've actually had to try and explain that to my nephews this week, and unfortunately I see it on Twitter that some adults don't grasp this either. So for instance, my nephew would like us very much to sign Lawrence Shankland, right? Which is fair enough. Some of our listeners will be very much for that as well, some not so much, but even so he said, are we going to sign Shankland? And I said, I don't know, I don't think Hearts want to sell him.
And well, certainly said, not to us for anything reasonably priced that would represent value.
He literally is their team, right? I mean, it's Lawrence Shankland and a few pals. That's what that team is. And, if they get third, they get Conference League, which is 3 sellout games and £3 million quid guaranteed. That is a lot for a club like Hearts, right?
Well, it's almost like a Gary Puckett in the Union. It's like Lawrence Shankland and the Heart of Midlothian. It's an early 60s Britpop crossover.
Lawrence Shankland and the E Street Band, right, is very much what that is, right? And
Shankland, the Tynecastle Sound.
The Tynecastle Sound's actually a great name.
Yeah, it's
not
bad. Well, let me write that one down.
If your Hearts, right, and I know we don't like to think about that because we think, understandably, the world revolves around us, I wouldn't sell him this window. I would maybe say to him, because he'll want to move, say, look, in the summer, absolutely, you'll have a year left in your deal. We'll even agree that it will be this much money we'll ask for you, okay? But staying fire is to Europa League, because he doesn't seem like a down tools guy, does he?
No, to be honest.
So, I would do that. But my nephew said, well, why don't we just offer him enough money? And I said, well, we don't actually have enough money to do that. And he's like, well, we should offer them 5 million. I said, well, we could offer them that, Cammy, but we would need to pay that. And we don't have that.
No.
And he's like, all right, okay. Is there a way we could get it? I said, not without some sort of bank raid. No.
Well, and again, I mean, it comes back to, we're in the position that we're in. We got whatever. We've spent a lot of money to really downgrade in the, forward area of the pitch, I believe, over the past 18 months.
We have,
We can all agree on that. And he would be, I think me and Danny talked about this like right before I fucked my wrist up when we were doing shows all the time. He would be a very nice piece, a complimentary piece, and an otherwise well-built squad, because he is one of those kind of strikers. He's a forward that would work well in the Scottish game, where sometimes you just got to hoof the ball into the box it's the Chris Boyd thing, right? Just throw it in
100%.
There. Somehow he's going to get on it.
Tight games against teams with 10 men behind the ball. Absolutely.
Yes, but what we don't need to do is spend a relatively large sum of money on a striker who's isn't he going to be 29 next
29 next
fall?
Birthday, yeah.
Yeah. So there's no resale value again, which is a problem that we have with a lot of the squad right now already. Hearts are going to overcharge us, right? which we know.
And, which is that right, and, incidentally? No, he's a star player.
No, absolutely. Fuck it. But yeah, I just, we got to be a little bit more creative.
Apparently
we have been. So
well, I also, you know, some of the people saying, well, we signed Diallo and it didn't work. Yeah, that doesn't mean that you never do another deal that has any similarities whatsoever because Correct. Of that, right? In much the same way as you don't go, well, we signed James Tavernier and he scored 115 goals, and you go to Wigan and go, who's your right back? Because that's where you got him. You don't, you know, it doesn't work like that. So yeah, I'm willing to give a guy a chance, see what he can. Of course, I'm good. See what he
did well in Anderlecht, and what was he?
PSV? Yeah. And he did 16 goals from wide possessions and 5 assists. Yeah. If he gives us 10 goals and 5 assists from wide positions this year, that would be him and one wing, Seema on the other would be nice. But I trust the manager, right, in a way that I don't think. I think all of us tried to trust the last man. You know, we wanted to, because managers start off with that, right? Let's not kid ourselves. Once he's appointed, you get behind him until they give you a reason not to. And he gave us reasons not to. And you could see, actually, against Kilmarnock, that first game of the season, it was like, this isn't going to work.
No, we're doing this one?
I do want to tell us a more crow-poddy story, though. That last week was the press conference, and I was off. So I said, well, why not? I'll go up to go for lunch with Adam. And we went up to the training centre. As you can imagine, it was December the 22nd.
Yeah.
So everybody at the ground was in a good mood. It was all very festive. And because the weather was awful, usually they take you round to the press, where the auditorium is at the Rangers Training Centre. Yeah, they usually walk you round rather than through the building. For the fairly obvious reason that they don't tend to want journalists, you know, speaking to people and maybe, you know, speaking to staff and hearing stuff and stuff getting out they don't want. Everyone understands. It's not anything.
Fairly normal.
It's pretty normal, exactly. But the weather was bad. It was Christmas, so they said, right, I'll take you through there. And I didn't see this because my attention was elsewhere. But I turned around and, have you seen The Godfather, Godfather Part 2, where Michael, for the first time, sees Apollonia and he's hit by the thunderbolt?
Yeah,
and he's breathless, and he just can't take it in, and he's just struck by a beauty.
Is this a Jack Butland story?
It's a Cyril Dessel story. Adam said, "I saw Cyril Dessel there in his pants," and he's like, "I think I have to sit down," and he's like, "David, I'm genuinely questioning my life choices at this moment." I was like, are you all right? He's like, wow, what a handsome man. And I was like, yeah, he is a very handsome man. So, you know, Cyril Dessel's in his pants is a late running highlight for Adam's 2023.
A good early Christmas present for him there, I guess.
He came back and he was talking to the girls, and he's like, I really wish one of you had this opportunity. And I said, well, it's probably for the best he didn't. you know, it's probably for the best. I loved that. I burst out laughing. He's like, I'm seriously questioning my life choices at this point. But no, he's good. And I had a boost as well. I'm not going to say the act, but a singer in one of my very favourite bands got in touch with me this week on the social medias and says, hi David, just wanted to say I love the podcast. And I was like, what? You listen to my fucking stupid podcast? And he's like, yeah, I love the podcast. And I was like, oh wow. So I'm like, thank you very much. You've made my 2023 with this one. Although Shane, on Christmas morning, right?
Yes.
Got up and exchanged presents with wife, and you know, we're both pretty good present buyers, so it's always fun, and it's not, you know, about spending a fortune or anything like that. Like, it's more about, you know, just can you get things that the other person will like and maybe wouldn't think to buy for themselves? Because you know what it's like when you're an adult, and the listeners will know, you buy things you want throughout the year. Right, yeah. You know, you do.
You sit there, you look at Amazon, and you go,
I need this. I'll buy this. Right, I mean that's what you do. Maybe different. I think if you've got young kids and the money has to go there, I get that. But you know, for two adults who not.
Well, yeah, it's like, you know, I go to the hardware store for light bulbs and I come home with $200 of shit.
Yeah, yeah. It was like, fucking Walgreens for me, mate, when I'm in the States. It's like,
oh, yes.
Oh, we actually get a trolley, Sally and I, when we're going around Walgreens. It's fucking great. We come back like a pharmacist.
But, extra suitcase.
she's handing me over the gift, and she gave me this one. It's vinyl. You know, we exchange a lot of vinyl. And yeah, she gave me, it's a Big Country, just a new issue. It's
this album is the band I was going to guess, but...
it's a pretty safe bet, but it's the live album from 1993. And she said, you were at this gig, weren't you? I said, yeah, I was. Oh, this is amazing. And then I went, and it was, and it hit me, because it was the week of Christmas, and I went, it was 30 years ago this week. And suddenly Christmas has ruined me, and I'm like, holy shit. And then I actually messaged some of the boys in the WhatsApp, and I said, were any of you aware, by the way, that 1993 wasn't like 12 years ago? And they're like, yeah, apparently.
1993 was 5 years ago. The war was 45 years ago.
Yes, that's it. The war is forever 45 years ago. It ended 45 years ago. That's a fact. That's just, everyone knows that.
The wall just came down a couple of years ago.
Vietnam was 25 years. Yeah, everyone knows this, right? And I was like, fuck me, man, 30 years ago. Because it's like, you know, I was old enough to go to a gig, right? Like in a, you know... Oh, and booze was involved, and I'm like, oh my god, 30 years, man. So that took the wind at me sails. Yeah. On Christmas. Yeah, I mean,
you know, I think we actually did ours the night before, just because we were going to my folks on Christmas.
No, I understand. Yeah, my parents have always done that. Yeah,
yeah.
With each other.
Well, and it was kind of, you know, like they've been sitting under a tree for, well, like I got like this nice hand painted ornament because we got like a real tree, so I let her open that one earlier. Lovely. And then I got her like a nice, it's like a little hand-painted, hand-sculpted cat that kind of looks like the cat. So she can take the cat to work, you know. And she got me the Dave Mason book, which goes, you know, which I've forgotten to buy at some point. Goes
from the Floyd. Course,
with the shirt book. So, yeah, you know, I got the
brilliant. Nice little,
the coffee table set and everything. But no, we went down to my folks. It's always nice. And, you know, my brother's there and sister-in-law and the niece and nephew and, you know, I remember like coming home for Christmas one year with, I just bought a new guitar and my brother had like a studio in his barn back then, you know, and he was young and I was young and fucking, you know, like we're going to play and over the break and blah, blah, blah. And I the pictures of my niece who can't even talk trying to play my guitar. And now she's in university in one of the University of Tennessee school systems. Oh. I'm like, fuck. Those 17 years went by really quickly.
Yeah, that's just off. That's just rude.
Yeah,
isn't it? You know that's yeah. just you know that you well, hear
you
that.
Can't be, you can't be all grown up now. You know, no, like you, this.
You,
no,
you use that for, you know, oh, they grow up so fast. But you use it ironically. It's not actually supposed to fucking happen.
Yeah.
But no, it's the same with us. You know, you got, like, my nephew now is 16. My eldest nephew, sorry. And his mum was getting him a record player this year. And he was also getting all the kind of stuff that a normal current 16-year-old boy would like, right? So, but yeah. She's just got him this. It's like you know those record players where you can carry them about?
Yeah, like the Crosley ones.
That's exactly what it is. It's Crosley one, right? Yeah. And she just, it was a wee extra, but she said to me, look, get him some vinyl. He likes kind of 90s indie music like we'd like, right? And I was like, oh, that's easy enough. So of course throughout the month I got a bit carried away, so I got him like 3 or 4 albums to start. I think he ended up getting like 9, right? Because I just kept, oh, I'll get that as well. So he did
oh,
really well.
Oh, I had that record.
Oh, I thought, oh, like that, right? Oh, he should like this, right? You know, so he ended up getting loads, and my sister said, that's too much. And I'm like, it's not for him, it's for me, right?
Yeah.
You know, please don't in any way feel that this is my fault. But it was pretty cool. But then I'm sitting looking at him, and I was like, are you going to gigs yet? Because I started going to gigs when I was 14. Admittedly, I started drinking when I was 14, he's quite set. He's very like me, except he isn't an alcoholic, which is great.
Always a plus. Yes.
Like his dad said to him on Christmas Day, do you want a beer? And he's like, nah, I had one earlier. And I was like, what? What? Yeah. me. Well, I mean, I was 16. I don't, you know, they had to fucking stop me. It wasn't so much I raided the fridge as I machine gunned the fucker when people weren't looking, you know. Oh, fuck. So he's quite a sensible kid. But I was like, are you going to gigs yet? And he said, yeah, I've asked for tickets to this festival next year. And I was like, oh, my God. You know, it's like, I remember when you were, as you say, when you couldn't talk, when you were just like, I remember when the thing you wanted for Christmas was like fucking Hungry Hippos.
Or I don't know.
Whatever the time. Yeah, but yeah, because he's quite a little. But it's quite funny because on Christmas Day, he's into that. And my other nephew, who's younger, he's only like 10. He's into K-pop, Shane. So, of course.
Well, yeah. I mean,
who did I buy him?
A good connection there. Yeah.
Who did I buy him? I did. Yes. And he was like, oh my God, this is so amazing. This is so cool. I was like, thanks very much. And he, you know, again, got and I won't say that's for the K-pop bands, by the way, because I've gotten quite a few. Their CDs come in like these packs. It's not just CD like you or I would have bought. You get like a big, it's like a box basically, and in it there's stickers and fucking games. And
oh, it's like a whole market. Yeah,
so okay. It's like a whole toy box. So it,
like everything looks like a special edition 20 year release of London Calling or something.
Yeah,
like.
it kind of looks like, you know, like the kids' toy section. You know, it's all wee fell, it's stickers and glitter and stuff. So and we were playing the records that the older kid, we were all kind of, you know, enjoying that. And then the wee man says, can I put on one of my CDs? And his mum went, no. And I said, here, right. I said, no, here, the wee man's get as much right as the rest of us. Come on, it's Christmas Day. And she went, on your head be it. And he put it on. And Shane, genuinely right, and I was a bit taken aback by this, it's fucking awful.
Yeah.
It's not good. Bad. And I said, wee man, I will give you this. I hate when kids play records that I find bland. Right? Yeah. I do. I hate that. You're supposed to scare. You're supposed to get a sane.
Yeah, you're supposed to, we wouldn't listen to that in my day. Like that.
Yeah, that exactly, right?
And I'll cue up the music. Here we go. Yeah, now, there is no way back in our day that we would have been listening. Son, Pearl Jam.
Yes. Back then you had songs by heroin addicts about how depressed they were. You didn't have this K-pop, and he put it on, and honest to God, it's fucking terrible. I mean, it's so bad. And I lasted about 5 minutes. I said, wee man, I'm so sorry, I really wanted to bat for you on this one, but he's like, oh, don't worry, I'm used to it. And I'm like, yeah, I'd get used to it if
we'll see that
reveals.
That was part of what we did the present, because like Saturday we'd gone to see another one of Robin Zander's kids, his daughter who lives here. But, you know, she's in a band, and cool. So we were out. Well, we took our buddy Hugh, our buddy from Sheffield.
The good luck charm.
Yes. Yeah, I gotta find him. He can't do Saturday, but he's coming down Monday for the Tennessee bowl game. So. Yeah,
see if we can get the game put back for 2 days.
Yeah, let's move it to Monday. Let's go move 2 for Monday. 1 on that one. Yeah.
Yep.
We need a couple extra hours rest anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Give them
the thing, because like I haven't obviously been going out owing to the fact that I don't want to be around people, because if they bump into me or try to shake my hand, I'm going to kill them. And so it was like, I didn't even, I think I had one shot the whole night, like one actual liquor. Mm. And I had a hangover off a beer. Like that's how little I've been out. Yeah, I mean, and that was like, when we were at my parents, I was like, Jesus Christ, I'm fucking hungover.
was it at least imported?
No, I mean, you know, I drink like hams and shit like that when I'm at the pub. It's not, Yeah, it's scary how,
maybe the medication as well, though.
Falling
the
off.
Painkillers.
Well, yeah, just constantly on the painkillers and everything.
Yeah.
You know, let's grab, we're going short this week, folks. Todd's not here, and me and David got schedules and whatever. Quick break, right back. We're going to do a little bit.
We'll be right back.
All right, welcome back to part two of the Crow Pod. As always, please go check out our good friends, thefamousheadwear.co.uk and blueroomart.co.uk. We're giving away stuff. I got to look, the scarves and everything I got to give away. I have not been able to type up lists or do anything to get shit to Graham. It's all my fault. Please do not blame him, but I'm dealing with everything this weekend because everything kind of works. At least, like, I can sit and stand to type for about 15 minutes because up until the past couple days, that's not been... No, that's not been an option. So, I will be taking care of all that here. So everything will be coming everybody's way over the next week or so, whenever I can get everything over to Graham. But go check them out. And of course, our good friends. Look, the holidays take it out of everybody. You know, I mean, you're feeling sore. You're feeling run down. You know, you need to go check out. I almost
finished. You're so close.
Recovery and Repair Massage Therapy in East Kilbride. Check out our buddy Mark. He will get you back in shape after the holidays. You'll feel fucking great. I got some... Well, I guess it's good news for y'all over there. You know, we're so used to international conflicts going on your side of the world, right?
That's right, yes.
You know, it's kind of where we like to do our business too. You know, as we don't like that stuff over here. We go, you know, like unless it's like Grenada or something like that. But I do you realize that like Venezuela is gonna it voted to annex like did the Russia thing with Guyana, and is now like preparing to invade the country. I don't know if you've been following any of this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see. I know. I don't know how the fuck I missed all this over the past couple weeks. So I got all caught up. And like, we're flying sorties over South America, right? They're like, it's we don't have international wars in Latin America, right? It's always coups that we start.
Coups, yeah.
Yes. specifically, we start.
Yeah. Wars are messy. Coups are nice and, well, they're not neat for the people.
They're not neat for the people there. But
no, but for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, it's...
Maybe it was a tribute to Henry Kissinger that he's popped his clogs and he said, how can we honor Henry's memory? And they said, well, let's start a bloody insurgency somewhere. That's what he would have wanted.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's kind of the only thing I worry about, you know, the last time like planes, American planes were flying like in or out or over Guyana, it didn't work out very well. You know, the whole Jim Jones and Kool-Aid incident and whatnot.
Yeah.
Little black mark on the old assassinating congressman record there. But I honestly don't know how the fuck I'm just so fucking out of it because I'm not on Twitter because I can't sit there and type. I don't want to hold my phone. It hurts. You know, I don't do Facebook at all, which you know quite well. Yeah. And it's just like without being on anything, I've been so totally zoned out of all the fucking news. Anything.
You're not missing anything. It's what I do. No. It keeps me sane is I keep. Did you know, for example, that Russia and the Ukraine have been at war for a wee while? I found that out this week, yeah. So I keep my world very small and very self-contained. Yeah. Basically, if it doesn't happen...
How's the Middle East these days? I'm sure still nice and quiet. And
probably, you know. Yeah. I'm sure somebody would tell me if there was stuff going on. But no, I think it's quite retro, isn't it? I think it's quite, you know, almost go back and America going and starting shit. And like I say, you know, old Henry, how could you pay him a lasting tribute? Remove a government. That's what he would have liked. That's what he would have done. I'm sure actually.
Well, maybe
he said that.
Yeah, that's probably because he didn't want that Rosalind Carter coming in and stealing his thunder. You know, like peace and fucking equality Love. For people. And let's not kill everybody. See, but now the question is, when Jimmy dies, do we revert to that kind of like? Do we end the hostage crisis right after he dies?
After he dies,
do some light treason to
after he dies, you have to build people houses.
Yeah,
because he loved eat. Or you should give someone back a peanut farm.
Peanuts ruin my blood.
You know the thing I love about hearing Jimmy Carter speak like that is that he sounds like someone doing a facetious impression of Jimmy Carter.
Jimmy Carter.
That is actually Jimmy Carter. He sounds so much like someone taking the piss.
There's somebody like, fuck, this is...
Producing peanuts.
That's what he sounds like. What he talked about all the time. Still talks about all the time.
Peanuts in my blood. And it's, yeah, but it obviously rankled him. And I don't blame him. It'd be worth, what, $200 million now?
Easily. We made him sell it.
You people made him give that up. And no, I think you could, as we know, though, he is history's greatest monster, as we learned from The Simpsons. So,
you just slap a different haircut on him and, you know, just repurpose the statue. It's fine.
I watched a new episode, and I mean a new episode, not my usual thing of a 15-year-old episode of The Simpsons.
Yes, yeah.
I mean a new one. And it was actually all right.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, I'm toward the middle of season 6 right now. On my just putting it on the background,
the absolute
golden. I got a ways to go. I'm gonna give it a try just to run.
What
it
was
through,
that? You were telling but, you spotted a joke in a Simpsons episode.
The Homer at the Bat.
The Homer
episode.
At the Bat. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was like when Mr. Burns has his like dream team. That's all it's like Hannes Wagner and Cap Anson and Pie Trainer and all
Mordecai
these
Three Finger Brown.
Yeah, Mordecai Three Finger Brown, exactly. Jim Creighton, who died before Major League Baseball even existed in right field, after getting into a fight after a game. But the second baseman, Nap Lahui, is actually Burns has his whole team up there on a diagram. And it's one of I'd never noticed this, as I told you, in like the 75 times I've watched this episode. I never caught this caught at least to the point where it was like, oh, that's funny. Because Nap Lahui is actually positioned directly on top of second base, which second basemen haven't done since about 1896.
Exactly. when you discuss, like, I saw one in an episode a few weeks ago that I hadn't noticed before, and that's they're going to the upscale shopping mall. And, the really expensive one. It's got a pottery barn.
Oh, basically.
And the sign on the entrance is, our prices discriminate because we can't. I never noticed that before.
See, it's the only shitty thing with watching, like the Disney Plus. Is that what you guys have to watch them on,
yeah,
too?
Yeah. Disney Plus, yeah.
But it's because they're all in the 16:9, so many of the sight gags are gone.
You can change it. I can't remember how, but if you look it up
that's the first thing. Fuck it. Show's over. I'm going.
I'm gonna go do that. You can change it, but I've had a wee sort of run of not Christmas movies, but movies I consider Christmassy because when I was a kid, that's when they were showing on network TV.
Yeah,
big movies would be showing on Christmas Day, so Indiana Jones. For example, and the Temple of Doom, I remember seeing at Christmas. Obviously, Die Hard and Die Hard 2.
Star Wars would always be on
Star Wars. Christmas. Yep, I watched Star Wars. Yes, Star Wars was always an absolute festive staple. And strangely enough, The Godfather Part 2, which I didn't realize actually did come out at Christmas.
Yeah,
I didn't know that. Yep. Late,
well, since I didn't watch my because I always watch Glengarry Glen Ross, but I was just tired and. Bored. Plus, there was actually sport on all day. Like, pretty much from the moment I got, there was football and basketball, and it was just constantly on. Mm-hmm. And then by the time I thought about watching the movie, I was like, fuck, I'm tired.
Amazon brilliantly on Boxing Day showed literally every EPL game.
Yeah, they have them on NBC, Peacock. See, I was like, yeah, because there was football on all morning, and then there was NFL games on from noon or so through the rest of the night.
Oh, it was great.
And there was NBA games on, so when it was halftime in the football, you could switch over to the NBA games or whatever. It was
the Pistons
up until the 49ers shitting the bed. It was a pretty good day of sport.
See the Pistons, who actually it's quite sad for people my age because in the 80s in the UK there wasn't a lot of sport on the TV, right? There, it wasn't 24 hours streaming channels or anything.
Well, you had four channels.
With four channels, right? And one of them, in fact, two of them didn't show sport, so it made it quite difficult. But for some reason, the BBC managed to pick up NBA for about 3 or 4 years, and the two teams at the time were the Boston Celtics.
Yeah.
No. right? I mean, that was obviously not going to be...
Yeah, it was a light Lakers, Celtics, and the Pistons. I mean, that was, that was all the 80s well, was. So.
Pistons wore blue and red.
Blue and red.
And nobody liked them except Pistons fans. So loads of people my age, when they first got into the NBA, that was their team. Right, you know, I was the same because it was Pistons versus the
I'm
great
not
team.
Jump here for this one because you didn't really know any better, but
no, we didn't, right? And look, Boston Celtics or Detroit Pistons, who the fuck are you going to pick if you're a, you know, a 10-year-old boy?
It was before Michael came and cut the head off the Pistons.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. But this week, the Pistons set a new NBA record of 28 successive losses.
Losses, yeah.
That, now, law of averages suggests that if you, me, and Todd played, we'd win one, right? You know, out of 28. Even with your sore wrist and my back, right? 28, that's almost heroically impressive.
Yeah, it's I was looking at the NBA standings because, you know, they brought in these rules to try to stop teams from tanking and everything. And it's incredible the number, like, how many teams have somewhere between like 3 and 7 wins? It feels, you know, it's like we're not tanking. We're really trying with no players or, you know,
we're like, average.
That guy drove the bus here to the game. Like he's a starting point guard.
We're all right.
That's what, because I don't know how. Again, haven't been on Twitter. I don't know if this is a thing going on Twitter over there as well, but it was enough to where, you know, it's been on like the sports radio shit and everything. Like it seems like every time when the Olympics are coming up, people start like, oh, you know, if you had 4 years to train, could you compete in an Olympic sport? And of course, you have these idiots who always think, you know, like living off memories from high school or university or something that somehow they could compete at that. Yeah, but there was a Brian Scalabrine, who's an NBA basketball. He was like a 12th man on NBA benches for a number of years, right? Mm-hmm. You know, just a guy, right? Just a guy. But he would go, like, he'd be at the YMCA, and it started becoming this thing. Like, guys would come challenge him who'd played, you know, like college ball or fucking whatever. And, you know, here he is retired, you know, just in, like, sweatpants and you know, regular trainers and fucking whatever, just beating the ever-loving shit out of all these people who are trying to, like, can't get a shot off on him, can't defend. It's always, look, if you're listening to this show right now, right, you are not good enough on any level to play a professional sport in any league anywhere in the world. You might get, like, a shot off, or you might somehow dispossess. Well, I mean, you know, like Sam Lammers, you could probably take him on, you know, in a challenge and having a reasonable expectation of him, well, at least not hitting the goal. But it's just don't get into these stupid conversations. It's one of the worst discussions that you overhear at the pub or something like that. Guys start talking about this kind of shit. It's like, just shut the fuck up. you're sitting here for a reason.
See, if you have ever, and I'm sure it's happened to a lot of us over here, particularly it happens with fives, right? When you go and play five-a-side football, every so often someone will come in and there'll be somebody who played, I don't know, semi-pro, right?
Yeah.
You know, at that level, or was on the books of a big club, didn't quite make it, went into something else, right? And they will be so far ahead of you. Yeah. Right, so far ahead of you that it's actually, holy fuck, right? And you think to yourself, well, how did that guy not make it? And then you realise, well, hang on a minute here. He's that good.
Yeah.
And he didn't make it.
No.
So the guys ahead of him, right, must, it stands to reason, be even better than that. And I remember once playing a charity game at Rugby Park in Kilmarnock in the late 90s, and Ian Durant was at Kilmarnock at the time, and he was, you know, having a real late career renaissance there. He was fantastic. They love him. He's still actually a legend in there. And he came on to play for like 15 minutes. He was like kind of one of the star attractions, and we couldn't get fucking near him. And I was only like 20 at the time, right? And he was almost double my age even at that point, Ian Durant, right? And you just could not get fucking near him. And there were guys in that team who were, you know, like lower league players and whatnot, and they were saying the same thing. And you're like, it's just the difference between, oh, you are that, and, oh, I'd like to think I could have been that. No, I couldn't have been, right?
Well,
the gap was huge.
We had a guy in our Sunday league team down in, you know, so not even like the really competitive division team, like, you know, just the fuck around league team down in Knoxville, who played, he played. I think he made it like Serie C, you know, and he played in France for a while, right? You know, right after university, he went over. He held that, but like, you know, at this point, he's about the age I am now. So we're pushing 40. He's got two like big ass Dan Marino knee braces on, you know, like one on both knees. And still, all he did for us was sit in the center circle. He couldn't run, right? You know, like he could lightly jog. And all we would do, if the ball's coming out of the back, you find him, and then he turns and pings a pass, you know, up to one, and that was it. That's all Kevin did, but completely unplayable, utterly unplayable in every regard. And the thing, you know, like I said, he couldn't run, but he would dice people, you know, just make them look fucking idiots.
That was it. If same with Gerard, he didn't, you know, he didn't run. He didn't run much when he was playing, but he didn't need to.
No, that's, well, yeah, after, yes.
he was nearly 40, and he just sat, as you say, at Kilmarnock in the Premier League, quarterback, if you like. But he could beat you, and I'm young and running about like my life depends on it, right? And he could beat you without touching the fucking ball. And you're like, where did he go? Right, he was there seconds ago, and the ball was going there, and now he's somewhere else, and it's just, you know, it's a level of ability. And then again, I think you notice this when you watch, for example, the EPL and the standards. You know, when teams are playing each other, because they're all, you know, there's differences obviously, but they're all kind of elite players to be there in the first place. And then you see them play, you know, the likes of us in a friendly in the summer. And you just go, oh, that's a different fucking sport we're watching. Right? Yep. Because they are so... And you saw that, it's like when we went into the Champions League, and it's just, they're all fucking massive, suspiciously so in my opinion, but that's a whole nother topic.
Yeah. They have good coffee. That's
they have amazing... They have the expensive coffee that only the EPL can afford. Yes, they do. The stuff that doesn't show up on coffee tests, yes, that costs a fortune, but they move at a pace that, that's why somebody said to me today about Silva, and he's like, well, you know, he struggled with the physicality in England, so he'll really struggle up here. And I'm like, no, we are not a more physical league than England.
No.
Yes, the referees allow more fouls, I'll give you that, but in terms of the pace of the game, no, right?
Yeah.
They play at a speed that we can't.
It's the effortlessness of it. You know, it's just how easy people like that. Well, I mean, there was another one. I played in this Woodbat Baseball League down there. There was a guy, he got called up to the majors one time, never played a game, right?
That was
spent like 14 years in high minor league baseball. As a left-handed pitcher, this guy couldn't even throw like 80 anymore. He embarrassed every, you know, like there's good college players in this league. There's people like me who, you know, could at least play still at that. Just embarrass every single. I mean, he didn't throw a no hitter, but it was pretty goddamn close. And it's that same. You're playing somebody that sees and does everything at a completely different speed and level. Like everything goes slower in their head, and everything looks easier for them when they do it. It's just
it. As you say, it's doing things at a pace, and I think that's why we sometimes get frustrated when we watch, you know, our team. Because you'll come from maybe having watched an English game where the ball's zipping about directly where it's supposed to go.
No, I get frustrated watching our team because of Sam Lammers and Cyril Dexter.
Yeah, but Cyril's very sexy.
Yeah, well, yeah, there is that. There's
can't
that.
Deny that. As I say, Adam is currently somewhere trying not to think about it because he's there with his wife and he doesn't, you know, they've got two young kids and he doesn't want to be that guy that I also did have to point out to him, I was like, I think he might be a bit out of your league anyway.
Yeah.
You know, even allowing for the fact that, you know,
£4 million signing. I mean, come on.
Yeah, but allowing for the fact that you're both straight. you know, I think even if he wasn't, he would still be a touch out of your league. Adam did point out he's a good cook, which he is. I'll give him that.
Well, David, I think that's going to wrap it, right? I mean, you got to go.
Yeah, we Christmas bonus for our listeners. Just a wee, just to keep you in touch.
get you through the week before we're back next week doing all the fun stuff.
Although again, because we're playing on the Tuesday, so
yeah, I don't. Well, we'll figure it out. I don't know.
Tuesday, literally.
Hopefully, Tennessee wins Monday, and I'm hungover. No, you're at the game anyway. So,
but yeah, Tuesday. Tuesday at 3, which is generally when we record, folks, is a wee bit behind the curtain. That's literally when we're playing, and it might be considered. And we're sponsoring the game, actually, Heart and Hand, so I'm going to be in hospitality because I never normally do it. I usually just still go and do press, but given the cost of the fucker, I'm at least getting my dinner out of it. you know? So I'm gonna
David, people are starving and you're eating food. You bastard.
But that's because, right? I think it would be an insult to those people if I didn't. So I remember one time actually when my mum, one of her standard lines was if I didn't like something and wasn't eating it, she would say, you know, there are children starving in China. And one time I said to her, well, you can send them this then. And the fucking fork came over the the table at high speed. Lesson learned. Good comeback, but not worth the outcome of it.
Oh, man. Oh, Onion headlines here. Fuck it. We can still do this one. Well, speaking of the wars going on, we've got the Israeli military reports. It was you, the reader, who blew up hospital.
Yeah. I like this one. Hot cousin knows it. I love those. And you might like this one. 54-year-old Facebook user wins Nobel Prize for own extensive internet research into dangers of COVID vaccine. And I thought you might like this because it's the most popular New Year's resolution by state on the Onion.
Oh, goodness.
Alabama, find slaves that escape plantation. Arkansas, read less. Colorado, find way down mountain. Connecticut, become active in the community by petitioning country club to at least allow Asians. Georgia, reconnect with estranged father, mother, siblings, cousins, and grandparents.
Oh man, yeah, there was one. I wanted it. It's one from Monday. I feel like the commentary has been missing lately, but I feel like the Onion is kind of going through a little bit of a resurgence right now. But the headline was, "Ho ho ho! I started dating Mrs. Claus when she was 14." Season greetings from your old friend Santa. Santa's been hard at work up at the North Pole preparing to deliver toys to all you wonderful boys and girls. But lately, it hasn't been all candy canes and rainbows for old Saint Nick. Because some people don't like the fact that Santa started dating Mrs. Claus when she was just 14.
they do the ho 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 every year, right? And my favorite one is ho ho ho, I saw you masturbating.
Oh man, the truth is, when I met Mrs. Claus, I was over 1,000 years old, and she was in her freshman year of high school. Yeah, Santa knows it looks bad, but I swear on my jolly red nose, big fat belly, and bushy white beard that I thought she was legal.
you've got to give him the benefit of the doubt there.
It's all the tomatoes, man. You know,
all the tomatoes. But
it's the hormones of the tomatoes.
I got a nice thing from a listener because I had mentioned on the last daily update before Christmas that I said. And I hope Santa is good to you, and I hope Santa is good to your kids. And he said to me that, shockingly, he says his wee boy had heard that, and he's like, I see, I knew Santa was real. There was guys at school saying Santa wasn't real. And I was like, that's shocking. how dare those kids tell him that? He's like, I know. He said, I don't know where he picked up this crazy idea. I said, no, you can tell him from David Santa. totally real.
Well, to wrap it up, there was another one on there. The kid old enough to know sounds on roof, just dad contemplating suicide. happy end of the holidays, everybody. It's almost fucking over. Thank God. I guess, well, nobody's going to the match this weekend, but, you know, everybody's going out to watch it somewhere, so be safe. Do all that kind of shit. Let's get the fucking points and you know, let's get into January and do the thing. Let's keep winning the shiny things.
Do the thing with the stuff.
I want more shiny things. The quadruple. Let's do this shit.
We need this. It's like heroin.
Yeah. No, well, yeah, because now we got one. Now we just got to keep chasing. We're going to keep chasing. Getting itchy here. God damn. David, of course, you can find everything Heart and Hand. Find my Twitter at IrocksMax. David, it's been fun.
It has, mate. Nice to talk to you, and Happy New Year when it comes.
Happy New Year, sir. Absolutely. And we'll be back sometime next week. Like I said, everybody was a winner. If you're waiting a scarf, whatever, everything's finally getting caught up. I can actually type and do some things, so I'm kind of getting back into the swing of things after a shitty month. So stay tuned. You will be getting your shit. And yeah, we'll be back next week with more stuff here. And actually, I think we should be back with like regular scheduled, all the programming, everything coming back. So there, just in time for the winter break. So everybody enjoy. Happy New Year. We'll talk to y'all soon. Bye.
Some people call me the space cowboy.
He can't even fucking see this at all.